We'll call a meeting to order. The main meeting. Roll call, we have everyone present except Supervisor Gaddy. But he said he was going to be here.
Okay.
Knows about it, right? Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting, that everyone gets a copy and have a chance to go over those, and if so, is there a motion or a...
Motion to approve.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Yuhas, second by Supervisor Wiskey, to approve the April minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
The governance?
Aye.
Chairman, committee members, Supervisor Towns. Well, I was going to go around the table here and introduce everybody to Supervisor Gaddy, because he's new. Let us tell him what everyone here does, but I'll save that. The other thing I have is I was almost sure, but now I was made aware that this is the last meeting for our two youth and governance. And I want to thank you two gentlemen for being supportive and working on the committee. I hope you enjoyed it, and I think it'll probably lead to at least some conclusions and other things you do. Again, thank you, you did a great job, and Supervisor Gaddy, so we'll go around the table then. How are you?
I'm well, sorry I'm running a few minutes late.
Well, you're free. So, we're all in attendance. What I was going to do, since you're new here, this is the May meeting, is when committee changes are made. I'm going to go around the table, and you don't know everyone here and what they do. You won't remember everything anyway, but we'll start with Wendy, and we'll go around this way, specifically with the staff.
Okay. Wendy Epping, I'm the admin for Public Works.
Mike Schrant, I'm the facilities manager.
I'm Dan Dry, I'm the general manager for the Division of Golf.
I'll go back this way. Ray Arvid, the Public Works Director.
I'm Matt, Director of Parks.
I'm Chris, I'm a fiscal manager for the Public Works.
I'm Jim Kupfer, I'm the CFO for Public Works.
Go ahead.
Javier Rosano, Youth and Governance.
Chaz Miles, Youth and Governance.
Yeah, that was their last meeting.
Okay.
And,
thank you. Look forward to working with you. Some of you have already had, you know, some contact and work with, but look forward to working together more closely.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to ask questions, and everyone will be at all of these meetings, and also they're all available at one time or another during the day if you have questions. So that's all I have. The any other supervisors have any? Supervisor Wiskey?
Although I would just be repeating what you already said, I want to recognize Chaz and Javier. Thank you very much for your participation. Hope you got something out of it. We enjoyed having you on here. Let's get back into your class, around your classmates. Please speak highly and recommend the youth and governance opportunity to them, because we always like to have new individuals come and explore this opportunity. So we appreciate all your participation, and look forward to your best of luck in the future. Thank you.
Any other supervisors, anything? If not, we'll begin. What we do here, Dan, is we cover facilities. Facilities is every building and property that the county owns. So we have projects, and we have maintenance on every one of those buildings through this committee. We do highways, every aspect of highways, from construction to snow plowing to the lawn mowing, everything that's done. Golf, the two golf courses, naturally, and parks. The, is it eight parks?
Mm-hmm.
Eight county parks, all projects and things on both. So that all comes through this committee, and we alternate each meeting, and we just go right down the line. So tonight, we we're starting with facilities.
Frank? It would be Frank, but actually Frank and Clement both have some family commitments tonight, so I'm going to fill in for them. Everybody, we generally try to get the reports into the packets and out earlier. Apologize to Sprite, I guess we just got it today, but we'll just walk through, and then typically if there's any questions or comments on any of the information that we provide, any of the supervisors will ask as we go through it. On the Anderson Arts Center, that's the project that we're doing that's primarily focused on the exterior preservation of that building, but it's also addressing electrical infrastructure and the HVAC for the building as well. The project's moving along very nicely, notwithstanding the weather, some of the rain we had in April. We got quite a bit done. All the geothermal wells have been completed. Piping's in progress right now. They're working on the windows and shutters were actually all removed, and if you drive by the building, you'll see that things are boarded up. Those are being restored off-site. Electrical rough-in's complete. East roof elevation, I haven't seen this myself yet, but they've already demoed that, and they've got it watertight as they start the restoration process of the roof. They say basically that the whole project is to seal the entire building envelope so that it's watertight, which wasn't the case. The building's nearly 100 years old. I think it was built in 1929, if I remember correctly. So it was time. That's basically what we're doing there. And like I say, restoring the interior only to the extent that HVAC, the climate control, will be put in place so that we can, so they can now have other art exhibitions that they can show there beyond what they have right now. Branch 1 courtroom renovation project, that's Judge Bastinelli's courtroom. They actually started that construction on April 15th. They're just getting started. Basically what Frank's got outlined here is there's light work that's going on right now, but the project completion is targeted for June 10th. And at this point, we don't see any reason that that's not going to happen by then. At the KCAP building, there's a refresh of some of the offices on the third floor, some work down in the basement, and a little bit on the first floor. It's pretty much a light refresh. The building was last worked on about 25 years ago, so we're doing painting, some water repair before we fixed the roof as part of the exterior restoration on that building a few years back. There was some water damage that's being repaired. And there's HVAC work that's actually going to take place throughout the building that Mike's going to actually talk about. It's under his project, but some of that work, there's actually three phases to it. We tried to do it on floors, but we're going to be doing some of the work up on the third floor first, as well as the work in the basement for that HVAC work, because we're going to have some of that area torn apart to do some of the water damage restoration and so forth up there. That's what's happening there. And then the ceremonial courtroom is Judge Schrader's courtroom. At this point, we really just continue with the engineering for that, and we want to pull together a complete bid package of documents. Whether we actually go out for bids, though, is yet to be determined. What we're actively looking at is the grant process, other sources of funds. So far, we've identified, working with the grants specialist under Matt's tutelage, I think she's up to about 18 or 20 potential sources of grants. Some of them look pretty good. Some of them look like they're real long shots, but at this point, we're just casting that net very wide to try to get as many other sources of funds. There's one interesting one in Chicago. It's a private foundation. And interestingly enough, their grants for this kind of restoration are up to about $750,000, but then they require a match, and it can't be public fund match. It has to be another private donor. So there's some creative things that we found. So we're going to continue to work that as hard as we can, because we want to look to raise as much funding as we can for that project. The other thing we got a note from the judges that put together, I didn't think of this, but the 100-year anniversary of the courthouse is 2024 or 2025, I think it is. And they put together a note saying, hey, can we start to plan for some kind of celebration of some sort? That was addressed to Jim, and I don't think he's responded to it yet, but it's interesting that they're thinking that far ahead. So that's pretty much it as far as the bigger projects that facilities has going on at this moment. If there's any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Is this a typo or what? Under branch one, core room renovation, second line says branch four, LED light conversion is complete.
Not a typo.
It's branch four is the other one.
The one we did last year, we're circling back and doing the LED lights in the courtroom.
Okay, so it is actually, because branch four is the one we did a refresh on last year, but we did most, if not all, the LED conversion ourselves in-house resources.
Yes.
And that's why, so oh, you just slid it in
it
there.
It wasn't?
Yeah.
Okay, thank
yep.
you.
Anything else? Now we'll move on to highways and Ray again.
Ray again. I think the first thing we'll have up to bat is appointment of Inspector Hanshey to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. He is obviously easy to identify because he's the best dressed guy in the world. I think the committee has gotten a copy of his resume and Jim, the county executive's formal appointment of him. He's eminently qualified to be on the commission. I believe this is going to be your first time on the commission?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's a valued commission, as we've talked about in the past. It's really important. All the accident investigation is done by that commission. There's a lot of recommendations made to either law enforcement or to highways as far as things that could be done to improve traffic safety. I would recommend his approval, consistent with the county executive's.
Yeah, if anybody has any questions, as Ray said, we have a varied group of people on that commission. We have the medical examiner, we have police officers, we have traffic people, and people in Clement's line of work. So it's these volunteers that set it apart and make it work. So we're very grateful that he's taking the move to do this, and he is succeeding Captain Michael Kowalski. Do we have a motion or questions?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Inspector, are you sure you want to do this? Thought long and hard about it?
I went to one meeting. It wasn't...
You didn't fall asleep?
It wasn't too bad.
So. Okay, so you can come back tomorrow?
Yep.
I'm sure about that. Okay. Move to approve.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Nordigan. Any discussion? You the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for volunteering and
serving. All right.
Now you can go watch the box.
Have a good evening.
Thanks.
Thanks.
So then to follow up with Clement's general report, April was overall a fairly decent month, and we had a couple of snow events, rain showers, but we still were able to do quite a bit of general maintenance stuff. And one of the things that was kind of a bonus, there's OSHA required training that we had scheduled, and it pretty much rained every day that we had that training, so it worked out pretty good. Project updates, County Highway S, there's a few challenging properties on phase one. Phase one is the section from Highway H to State Highway 31. It's really only one property. It's the Icky Rickies that's going to provide some interesting discussions and negotiations for us. There's one other one that's a partial take that's, I don't know enough about it, but it has potential to be a little more challenging. Everything else has been acquired, and that's why they went out for bid already for the demolition of the full take properties. And we got much better pricing than we got the first time around with when we did phase two. The apparent little better Bellastrary has already been vetted, and at $291,000, I believe there's a total of 12 properties, whereas we had a total of 16 properties for phase two, and the 16 properties for phase two was over $500,000. So now, there's variation in the amount of buildings and stuff like that, but still, this is very competitive pricing. And Balustrade, I believe this is the first time they've thrown their hat in the ring. They're from Elkhorn, Like I said, they passed all the vetting, and they're targeting late May to start demolition work on the properties that we've already acquired. And overall, the project stays on track for a start in spring of 2020. Phase two of that project, which is from H to the interstate, we've got the 13 of the 16. That hasn't changed. There are three full takes that are in, probably will be going a formal legal route. Again, they're properties we've talked about in the past. Demolition contractors completed the demolition of all the fully required properties that we have had to date. And at this point, it remains on schedule for construction to commence spring of 2020 as well.
Mr. Chairman, so would Bell's Ferry be almost half of the next person? Yeah, but you said, so you've obviously spoke with some individuals or maybe municipalities that have used them.
Yep.
No concern. That's a big difference.
Big difference.
Not opposed to it, but I'm right. Not sure that...
Yeah, and if they weren't local, I think we'd be more nervous, because some of these guys are actually from, I'm going to say Green Bay and center of the state and stuff like that, but these guys are relatively local. They're in Elkhorn, so, and I know that between Clement and some of his staff, as well as we had R.A. Smith has been involved in putting the RFPs or the bid specifications together, they were involved in the vetting, and we're good with Balistrary. They had a pre-construction meeting already, and they've got things set up. So, yeah, it was just very competitive.
Now, you specifically mentioned, of course, our favorite bar on H and S. Can you give the committee an idea where you're at in that process?
So that's the
one that I have no problems with relocating.
The only thing I think I can say is that when our appraisal was done, it came in at, let's say X, when he had his independent appraisal done, it came at X minus, so his came in lower than ours. It was at that point that his attorney came up with another line of reasoning, and that line is saying that we have bargained in not in good faith at this point. So it's kind of just...
You offered too much money.
Right. So... It's in the process. We haven't gotten to the point where it's a jurisdictional offer with him, but I think we're in as good a spot as we're going to be based on the appraisal situation that we've got. So,
and then on phase two, I see 13 of the 16.
It's actually two property owners. It's the Rinaldi property, which is two parcels, so it's two of the three, which is that farm that's kind of right. And then the other one is the, I forget the guy's name, Corrado or something, but it's basically the old Palmans Quick Stop, that building, right?
Ravella.
The Baltimore Forks. Yeah, Ravella, there you go, that's it, yeah.
It still isn't.
That one hasn't been resolved. But neither one of those have gone to jurisdictional offers either, so I know that negotiations are still taking place.
Okay. Thank you.
So that's County Highway S, County Highway F realignment project. Real estate acquisition for that is ongoing, but it's largely complete, I'm going to say. We're still in discussions with the town of Randall and Village of Twin Lakes. We haven't had a follow-up meeting. In fact, I just got a call from the Twin Lakes president today, Howard, and I left him a message that now that we're through a lot of these other things, I plan on having a follow-up meeting for that process with everybody before the end of the month.
Talk to his mother and uncle.
Aaron did, and he actually had some questions about some utilities that currently run through that property and how those are going to be handled. I've got 85% of that answered, but not quite all of it. And there was one, and then we were supposed to get at least an initial kind of appraisal of the county parcels that we would be offering at first right of refusal for the adjacent property. I've got that information too that I got to get to Corp Council. So I think in May we'll get that project kind of going again. That's pretty much the F. That's still on track for start of construction in spring of 2020 as well. County Highway K project from H to the Canadian Pacific Railroad. We continue to do the design work for that project, and we've met with the city a couple of times. My gut feeling is based on where we're at. We're going to get all that design work complete this year, but I think it's going to be very challenging for that to be scheduled even next year. Just given some of the nuances with some of the stormwater stuff, some of the utility work. So even though we're going to get all the design and engineering done, so we'll have it in the can ready to go, whether that actually is a 21 project or gets booted out a year later, it's probably going to be 2021, 22, somewhere in there. The Foxconn and related DOT project.
Are you planning for the two railroads to be overpasses, or what is the scene come back and stated for the railroads?
Yeah, those are not given the distances between them at that point. I don't know that it would be possible, but I know that that was never part of the consideration. The section between the two railroad tracks, at least in all the conversations we've had with the city so far, they're going to do that. We're going to do from the west railroad tracks to going west, that'll be county, and the section in between has been talked about to this point to be the city. So we haven't talked about that going overhead there.
Because that is going to be four lanes, correct?
It will be four lanes.
With a tunnel?
A twiddle?
Twiddle.
I don't know that that's going to be a twiddle there. It's not that far along in the design process yet. So.
Or would it be a divided medium, you know, a curb and gutter medium?
I don't think it'll be that either. I think it may be divided median just for stormwater and to have some additional, but the design's not that far along yet with that section, because we were only concentrated on the part west, and this doing the part in between the tracks jointly with the city, that was added in about 3 months ago. So the initial design was only focused on going from the tracks west, our kind of the county section, so to speak. So that design in that center section is not as far along as the part west of the tracks.
You know, I understand it's not, we do have the industrial park, or business park, the business park there, so that'll be, you know, helpful. And then once we start developing the old dairy rail track, that'll be helpful. It'll be another thoroughfare, so it's something to keep in mind. About 158, I guess, is going to be considered the primary east-west. We don't want to choke ourselves off like we've seen it, right?
The key difference is that with K is it will be four lanes, like it's four lanes already, like by Dairyland now, right? And so then, but it's not all the way to the interstate.
Right.
Though the underneath that is sized for it to accommodate the four lanes, there's no runoff off the interstate, so it'll still be a heavy commercial, but it won't be as heavy as like 158 or Highway 50. Let's see, KR enhancement projects then. Yeah, if anybody's had a chance to go up there, major grading work's ongoing. They've got the three westbound lanes pretty, I'm going to say two-thirds to three-quarters roughed in already. They're still targeting having that whole section of KR from H to I-94 done in July of this year. And then the section, the section from H to 31, as everybody's aware, our board passed that on the 16th. Racine County, I think tomorrow night, they do it a little differently, so their joint committees met on it last week, which they approved, both committees approved, and then it goes for a first reading to the board tomorrow night, and then for full vote next Tuesday night, the 14th, is when they have so that's where that whole thing is at. Project overall is targeted for construction to start in late summer, fall of 2020. And then Clement usually lists the lane closures and so forth on I-94 and some of the other state projects in the area, but man, we get notices from the DOT on a daily basis that these things change. So when he put this together, I'm sure this is still fairly accurate, but not 100% accurate. And that's pretty much everything he's got.
I just have a general question. I don't know, maybe the public can answer, but you might be able to, Ray. On county roads, the culverts that intersect, let's use Randall, 117th Street, intersects the county highway KD. The culvert, which is there to move the water, of course, from the road, wherever it's got to go, it's all clogged up on both ends. Water can't get through there. And you can see the erosion now also coming off of KD.
It's on KD.
The erosion is on KD. I'm not sure how that culvert is viewed. Because I know my culvert connected up to the town road is my culvert. So
right.
I don't know
right.
if this is a county culvert or a town culvert. I'd just like to know, because I looked at somebody to clear that through, just to keep the water going through.
If nothing else, I'll have somebody check it out. So whenever you see something or you get a constituent that calls on that, just contact Clement, and he'll get it. He'll have somebody out there to check it out right away.
I was coming here tonight, so I thought I'd
So, So you said KD and 117th?
Yes, KD and 117th Street.
We'll get it checked out.
Thanks.
Anything else for Clement? All right, we'll move on to Parks, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the first thing in front of the committee this evening is the resolution authorizing the land use agreement with UW Parkside for the Pike River restoration and development of recreational trails. So a majority of the committee members were there the previous week that we did a joint Public Works Finance Committee meeting. I was able to make some phone calls. Supervisor Franco got up to speed since you came a little bit later, so I just want to make sure that you were there and you got updated on all that good stuff. So I did kind of create a one-page overview that kind of hits the high points of this. So instead of me being redundant, I guess I'll just open it up if any committee members, after you had time to review the actual agreement, if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those at this time.
I had a whole lot of them, otherwise you would have probably made an answer on the phone, but I've read this now 3 times, and some of the just the same questions keep gnawing at me.
Sure.
Very first paragraph, this is we're doing a business, the county and University of Wisconsin Parkside. But later on it says University of Wisconsin System. Which one are we, do we have the agreement with?
It's technically with the university system, so it's through the Board of Regents that actually approves that. So it's through the state system, the UW system.
So it's a UW system.
Am I correct with that, John? Yeah.
If you look at the first paragraph, it's the university system doing business at UW Parkside, which is then defined as the university. It's the system that is has the ability to contract.
And this was already approved through the Board of Regents first,
right.
So.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to get it because they're both names are on there. If you go back then to future parties, then are they one and the same? Are they different? Can the university system say they want one thing, Parkside say they want another, then you have the county, and then you get this third party involvement? Because it says here, if future parties notwithstanding the foregoing and with the exception of lawful successors under state law, neither party shall sign this agreement or license is granted here to any third party or parties without the express written consent of the party, the other party. So it's really UW system that makes all the decisions here for Parkside.
UW system agrees upon this contract, and Jen, please jump in if I'm
so
corrected.
So they defer then to Parkside?
And then they, correct. So then we have more of a working relationship with UW Parkside through the chancellor, vice chancellor, any faculty members. So after this agreement is signed, this is the agreement for us to move forward and work directly with UW Parkside with those items within this agreement.
So what if there's, again, thinking out of the box, what if there's a disagreement between Parkside and UW system?
It goes back to this document.
And this document says Parkside and UW system, right?
Is there a specific thing that you're concerned about?
No, just anything can come up. You know, hey, we don't like it being like that. We want it to be like this. So the land is part of the UW system.
Yes.
That sits. So they really are the ones that, if there's a problem between those two, Parkside and UW system, the UW system is who we have this agreement with.
Correct.
Okay.
It had to be approved by the Board of Regents in Madison.
Sure. Okay.
That's where the meeting was.
Okay. So what other county and UW system schools, what other counties have these types of agreements with UW system schools?
Ray, you said Stevens Point, I think, has a similar working relationship.
So UW Stevens Point has the Schmeigle Reserve. I'm not sure if that's city or county that partnership's with, but I know that was used as kind of a model.
Okay.
At least this wasn't virgin territory that was being done totally.
Stevens Point.
Stevens Point, and then it's the Schmeigle Reserve. It's right adjacent to the campus.
So there's one other example of this.
Yep.
And it's open to the general public, basically what we're trying to accomplish with the UW Parkside.
Okay,
property.
I'll get to that in a minute. So relax, it'll be a minute or two, because I've got a few questions here. So, on the third whereas, when they talk about the significant community development near campus will strengthen the university's appeal as a regional destination, can't impact fees pay for this from the significant development that's going to strengthen the university? If all this new development is going to be coming up, just like schools get built, they'll put impact fees on the school, on the development to gather in order to pay for the schools that are being built. Why can't we look at that same type of funding here?
For the development of one of these restoration projects, or?
Community development near the campus will strengthen. So is that down?
I think that provision is just talking about that the purpose of the agreement makes this, I mean, it opens up, it's more like a park to the public, and so it makes it a good regional destination. There's no, the funding, the county's paying a dollar, it's dollar rent for this per year. So I think that whereas clause is really just saying that when we're able to do this in the Pike River restoration and you open up the trails, it's going to make UW Parkside and that area a more attractive destination for people to come to. And that's the way that I read that paragraph.
And on top of that, also for the student base too, that this is going to be a destination to attract new students to that campus, that there's more recreational amenities for the student base as much as for the public. So it's a win-win on both sides.
I'll disagree with that, but okay. Whereas the county has been committed to improve the Pike River watershed within Kenosha County. All right, so if I live in Kenosha County and I have the Pike River coming through as a private owner, is the county going to come in and fix up the Pike River going through my personal property? And my guess is no. Okay, thank you.
And that's why this is public property, so.
What's that?
It's publicly owned property now, so that's why.
It's private property right now, right?
No,
the university system owns it.
Yeah, that's public entity.
So the university system is going to benefit from it by these things being developed, so why does the county have to put their money in? That's the question. I don't know why that park side or the system or the UW system can't, fund this thing. And I think they've got $1 billion in surplus sitting somewhere, what I heard last. Says all trails should be managed by the county. So after this is put in and the county puts in their millions of dollars to fix all this up, then we have the pleasure of maintaining it on top of that, then, correct?
As far as the trails, as I said during the last joint public works, we really heavily rely on the community, and it's going to be a consortium of volunteers that the county directly works with to maintain those trails. And we've shown and proven success with being able to manage volunteers to get that work done. So it would be us with that oversight, but it would be truly the volunteers through the Kenosha Area Mountain Bike Association that already are interested and have been successful with Silver Lake.
You're just talking about the mountain bike?
Nope, that's going to be just how, that's 10 miles of trails throughout Silver Lake that this group is responsible for. So we're
and
using that same template for this
responsible
one.
For it anymore. Who pays for that?
The trails only exist when they're maintained by volunteers. In my mind, the same thing goes with Silver Lake trails. That's
so
no
maintenance. So they stop maintaining them, the county wouldn't jump in and pay to maintain them.
I don't foresee that being an issue. There's a lot of passionate people that want those trails to exist, and it's worked out so far.
Well, wasn't there mention that there's trails currently on this 139-acre site somewhere?
With a lot of challenges with those, yes.
Didn't say that they were great. I just said there's trails in there, and people are walking through there, and they're not maintaining them, right?
Correct.
Okay, so.
Supervisor Nordigan, the Silver Lake Park, which is very close to where you live, mm-hmm. you should take a ride in there.
Been there many times.
Right. So this group has developed these 10 miles of trails. They cut all the brush. They groomed all the soil. They maintain them. They run every race and program. They did the signage. They did everything. They were at our joint meeting. I think we paid attention to them.
Right.
They were there, and they were there in support because they said they're out of options for the amount of people in the city area that want this. They're out of trails. They wanted to become involved in this when they heard about it. So, just as we did in Silver Lake, I'm with our our county parks guys every morning. They don't run out there and do anything on those trails. And they won't at Parkside. This is for a dollar that we're going into this agreement. And any monies that are needed to enhance these in anything other than bike trails will be done through applications for grants. This isn't anything to do with the normal budget for parks for Kenosha County.
So there'll be no county money, no borrowing, no nothing from the county?
We certainly didn't at Silver Lake.
Well, okay, first of all, can this bike, the guys who did the bike or the women and men who did the bike trails at Silver Lake, can't they just go in there and do that now?
No. It's not, we don't have an agreement.
Why do we have to have an agreement? Why can't they go to the UW system and say, hey, we'd like to do this, it's successful over here?
Parkside originally came to us almost a year ago and expressed their frustration with what was happening on their property and was looking towards guidance and almost giving a blessing for shutting down all the trails from the general public and just stopping it because they saw that as being too much of a challenge for Parkside to do. We saw an opportunity for our constituents to not have that happen. Instead of butting heads with those people that are going out and creating trails, to work with them in a structured manner like we did with Silver Lake Park. So we could either have it one way where it's not a gem to the community like it already is and enhance that, or the other route is having Parkside do what they originally wanted and shut the whole thing down.
That's short-sighted on their side because I'm sure there's plenty of colleges out there, private as well as public, that do have trails and things that are open. Platteville has their own disc golf course. Anyone can go play.
And Parkside has that as well.
Okay, so they do things like this.
They do.
But I guess one of the other things is what other improvements would the county be on the hook for, such as parking, lights, roads, etc.?
There's no, this is a natural resource. There's no parking, there's no lights, there's nothing
how
within that agreement. There's nothing in the agreement that says that would be developed.
How do people get there?
It's a hiking trail.
They're going to walk?
It's a hiking trail. There's a parking lot off of County Highway JR. There's parking lots on campus. If you've been there, they got parking lots B and C next to where they have their athletic center.
So no more parking has to be developed. Nothing has to be developed to put people on this.
No. Yeah, no, they specifically, in the little bit I was involved early on, is they want this to be a natural, environmentally sustainable kind of a place. But that was the problem with all the unauthorized trails that are in there that people have created. They're damaging the environment. So they want from us, they wanted our expertise to help coordinate the development of a trail network via our, I forget the name of the Mountain Bike Trail group, but those folks that did so well out at Silver Lake, to tap into that, use that, get the thing set up, and then actually it becomes a self-policing kind of things, because once those folks put all that sweat equity into making those things, clearing, creating those trails, they police themselves. And if they see somebody that's jacking around with stuff, they take care of it, which is a thing of beauty. Now the thing is being used by the public, is being policed by the public, and it works very, very well. So, and that's the extent of it. The other side of it is, as you know, some of the stuff in here is they want it to be a lab too, so they can take kids out there and students go out there and do biological experiments and research and data collection. So, no, this isn't going to be any hardscape kind of pavement and things like that. They specifically don't want any of that kind of stuff going on. So.
Property as far as I'm concerned. So the county shall be responsible for all maintenance of the trails and the property surrounding the trails, including but not limited to such activities as removal of limbs. So I see where it says the county is responsible. I don't see where they say volunteers will be doing all this and no county monies will be used. I don't see that anywhere in this document.
There are sections that specifically state the roles and responsibilities we're going to be leaning on volunteers. Do I have that memorized in front of me? No, but it's listed in there as far as the responsibilities of those volunteers on the trails under that trails section.
And it's referenced on page 4 under the single trail development. Page 4, it talks about what the county deserves the right to use volunteers.
The trail development?
Right. And I think it's mentioned elsewhere.
Go ahead. brought that up. All trails shall be managed by the county, and the county shall have the right to develop a strategic trail plan.
Under single trail, track trail, the mountain make the trail to be developed and maintained by volunteers. So
what's that be? Yeah. Those are the single track trails. There's other trails.
And we've used Eagle Scouts for carcinite markers over at KD Park. We've used them with Silver Lake Park. So there's Eagle Scout projects. So we're always looking for community involvement and development with what we do with all of our parks. And this is just another example of utilizing those resources led by the county to get the community more involved to do things that are in the that are right, instead of just letting individuals go out and create their own trails that are wrong.
I just have a lot of concerns of what this is going to cost us. That's all. We have a $700,000 parking lot going into a Pringle Nature Center for the Boundless Adventures. I want to stay away from that at all costs here. We should not. This is a UW system. Again, we've got money, more money than we know what to do with here. And we're talking about us having to pay for something that they could easily do themselves. Go ahead, I'll tell
you. Supervisor Elverman, can I just say one?
Yes.
I'm just so that you're clear with the agreement, because I think right now we've been told the same thing. There's very little anticipated costs or expenses, and I believe that's what Matt has indicated to the committee. There is a right to terminate that we always put into the contract, the agreement.
A what? I'm sorry?
We can terminate upon notice for any reason, which I think it's 120-day notice, 180-day notice. So if for some reason there are unexpected costs or fees or things that are coming up which we don't anticipate, there is a right to terminate the agreement, which is something we always try to put in our contracts in case it starts going down a path that nobody likes, needs, or envisions.
Okay.
Go ahead and pull.
Oh, thank you. I think Supervisor Yordigan talked about it briefly, but on section 15 on page 8, it says wayfinding and other signage. Kenosha County would pay for the cost of any signage along the trails. So would you estimate that'd be like $1,000 or $10,000 or, you know, what?
In response to what I told Supervisor Nordigan is we would always look for Eagle Scout projects, but the last Eagle Scout project, it was probably around that $1,000 range for wayfinding signage, or it'd be through, there's a fee station that we would be allowed to put in front of where the single track mountain bike trails are. Those fees would go into our donation account, and when we have enough money, we're able to use those user fees with that to pay for things like that. But I don't imagine it to be a big ticket number, probably around that $1,000 or less.
And one other item, the 50-year clause in there. I mean, 50 years, all of us are going to be dead, I think, except for our gigs over here. That's a bit long, I think. Maybe like 10 years to start and see how it goes.
And I think that's what Jen was referring to as well, is that if things are not going smooth 10 years from now, either party can terminate this agreement. So I think that's good. That protects both Kenosha County and the UW system, that if it wasn't what was intended with this contract or this agreement, then we just have to give notice that we're done with this agreement and we go our separate ways.
And Matt, I believe you said the Pike River restoration is
and that's all grant dependent as well. So we have three phases to finish within county property, even before we get over to phase 4, which would be on Parkside property.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, what's the length of time we're talking about, the restoration you're talking about?
It really is going to depend on those grants that come through. We've been successful with phase one. We received $700,000 from federal and local grants. So if we can keep our batting percentage up, then it really depends on a year-to-year establishment of those grants and how successful we are. So in a perfect world, every 2 to 3 years we can finish a phase, but I can't make any promises because we just don't know how competitive those grants are going to be across the whole entire country.
Supervisor Zabliski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I had some broader questions, Matt, and maybe you can fill in some blanks. It states this agreement will also develop and expand a framework for the county to plan and implement land management, right, river restoration initiatives, programs, projects, mountain bike trails, pedestrian trails, public usage opportunities. That's a very long laundry list that isn't free. So can you expound on how that's going to get paid for?
What it does is it allows for the county to look into these opportunities. So this agreement, in general, sets the framework. It doesn't mean that these things are going to be immediately happening this year or next year. But we want to have this 50-year agreement that if these opportunities come up for educational curriculum, that we're able to work with Pringle Nature Center or Hawthorne Hollow or the UW system to do future programming. There might be a special event that might not be known to us at this time, but we can work with an outside entity in order to develop those types of special events. So again, this is just a framework that gives us the permission when those opportunities come. Doesn't mean that it's happening, that we have specific details. Absolutely not. But it just sets that framework so we don't have to go back to the state and always be asking for permission for this event or this trail improvement. So it's more general in speaking.
And then under section two, paraphrase here a little bit, but basically, within the property, the county has authorization to develop and implement the natural resource inventory and ecological management plan, and down below it kind of gives you some details here. As far as I know, the University of Parks, that is a facility of higher learning, right? Don't they have professors and a whole lot of resources to draw upon?
Absolutely.
Why is the county having to be responsible for putting that together when they talk about utilizing this land already for classrooms and I don't know what research and maybe that curriculum here and there, but certainly within the UW system it exists. Why is it our responsibility?
Great question, and I appreciate you bringing that one up because the university is really good with their faculty, with that curriculum, doing research, and they're wonderful at what they do. But then it just goes into a file. And what we're really good with is having more of that strategic plan and taking those data points and actually, sorry to say, doing something with it that's worthwhile, that we can build upon all these different layers of a natural resource inventory. And the faculty already have that for us, but what they need assistance with is layering that with the natural resource inventory, where the trails can and cannot go, where the floodplain is, where we actually can put multi-use trails, where their educational curriculum is, to come up with a comprehensive plan that makes sure that we don't do things twice and there's no redundancies. So it would be the county to ask for assistance, identify those ecologically sensitive areas that have already been done through their faculty, but then it would be us more strategically putting all that data into a living document, per se, with that area, because they haven't done that, because it's always been more niche that they're worried about maybe this invasive species, or they're worried about this plant material or this habitat. But we're able to put all that into more of a comprehensive approach, and I think that's where we've shown a success with all of our county and public works projects.
So you put together, you know, take kind of the files that maybe they've collected over a few decades, whatever, they've owned it for 50 years, and you guys kind of lay together not only strategic but tactical plans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what in your mind is the next logical step? Is that where expenditures start?
I would say no. So what I anticipate is that we have the natural resource inventory and then the existing trails. And then you start to, like I say, layer those things on the floodplain, the wetland areas, to to really see what our baseline is for this area. And with that baseline, then we can see what it actually would be as far as where to incorporate a multi-use trail system. And then after that, put on a single-track mountain bike trail network. So there's going to be a lot of planning that's going to take probably a year or two just to get to that point. And if there's any help or assistance, it might be some consultant fees, but we're not even there yet. Right now, we're focusing more on just getting this framework before we even get to that point.
Some of that mapping already exists within
yes.
the college, correct? Because I know Andy's done phenomenal.
And there's already the mapping of all the trail system, too. It's been GPS'd.
More my interest, obviously. I'm more concerned about the county's interest than I am with Parkside. I agree with Supervisor Doherty, and they're sitting on nearly $1 billion within the UAV system. They don't seem to want to spend on it. So I want to make sure that we're not going to be on the hook for this. Because it does say the county shall be responsible for developing strategic trail plans. That's not free. Somebody's got to spend their time. I'm assuming it's either you or your staff.
Right? It starts with us, yes, internally. Okay.
Have you given an idea or any kind of a ballpark on how many hours of what you might spend on that, roughly?
Not necessarily. I don't think it's going to be that much time because the students have done all the baseline mapping, and we'll use the same framework as we did with Silver Lake Park that we actually used a consultant, and from there they're able to actually develop a sustainable trail network. So there will be probably one in the future when it's that time, then we'll bring a consultant in because they're the ones that properly design single track trails.
Because it says natural resource inventory, ecological management plan, ecological restoration plan. I won't get into the Pike River because you guys kind of have an idea what you want to do there. That's a lot of things. It takes a fair amount of time to go stomp around 130 acres to figure out what it is. So there is going to be an expense to the county for that to be done. Would you agree?
My oversight, yes.
Okay. Just get back to Supervisor Norton. The county shall be responsible for normal maintenance of the trails and surrounding them. When extraordinary is required, the county shall employ best practices for, I don't know, just throwing something out there. There's a huge washout because of the Pike River overflows. Those are things that now, because it says it right here, we're responsible for it, right? I understand that the mindset right now is, we don't know what that is. And that, you're right, but it could happen and has happened. We're on the hook. Am I wrong?
As
why isn't it, because the UW system owns the land, why are we on the hook and they're not on the hook? You can't say that they're not capable of coming up with the money and you guys apply the expertise, right? Because it is not our land. That's my concern. It's one thing for Silver Lake, Pets, KD, we own those, right? So we are responsible, and the taxpayers own this. In this case, it's the UW system that owns it. Realize we're leasing it for a buck, but then everything falls on our shoulders. Why isn't it falling on their shoulders? Because they are also benefiting, quite frankly, maybe more than we even do. I don't know.
I just don't think they see that as a priority to the UW, or I should say the university as of. We see it as something that's good for the general public, that is needed with the mountain bike community, as mentioned before. There's people that want to utilize the UW property, and the only way for that to actually happen is for someone to take the lead, and that's us.
And I'm good with all that, if you explain that. In this particular one, though, during negotiations, do you know if that came up as a point of contention with the county? Did anybody from the county push back on that?
They already said they don't have the staff to go in there and maintain these trails.
Staff is one thing. Money is something else. We're talking about money here. Because you guys do have the expertise, staff, and equipment. But why should we pay for somebody else's? That's like me paying for my neighbor's landscaping job. Okay? Am I going to benefit because I look at it? Yeah, but it's not mine. In the long run, I ought not be paying for it. Do you know whether or not that came up? Or, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I think... The way that the contract is written is that the county is responsible for normal maintenance, and then it defines what normal maintenance is under the agreement: cleaning brush, picking up litter, maintaining signs. If there's extraordinary maintenance required, we notify the university, and so if something was severely damaged that had nothing to do with just the maintenance of the trails, that would be the university's responsibility. fields for the uses that are intended.
You know, what about 20 years ago or so, I think some straight line winds came through Lake Summers, and they took huge oaks and just laid them over, right? That could easily happen in that area. It's a very heavily wooded area. If that happened, that would be a major, or a tornado comes through, right? Tears up trees, they're all over the trails. And that's extraordinary maintenance. I guess as I'm reading this, though, so it shall employ best practices and maintenance and coordination. I'm just not seeing where it says, and the university shall pay for it. Is that something we can put in there?
I mean, at this point, the agreement's already been approved by the UW state system. I think we would argue that the intent, the whole purpose and the intent of this agreement, and I will say for what it's worth that UW system was incredibly cooperative with this agreement.
Sure.
I think that they see it as a mutually beneficial thing, that we're expanding the footprint of the parks. They are limited somewhat in what they can do, like under state statute and administrative code, as far as they can't do light bike trails and recreation and things like that, because they always have to have an educational purpose. What they're funded for, what they're set up for, is for educational purposes. So they can't open up all of these trails to the public and say we're going to do light bike trails and all of that, which is why I believe the county got involved, is because they wanted to open up these trails for the public, and we have the statutory authority to do it. They don't. So that was the purpose for it. I think the entire intent of the agreement was just to say, we will do these trails and open it up for the pedestrians, things like that, the normal maintenance. If something dramatic happened, like that, trees torn down, we would argue that is outside the scope of this agreement and it's not our responsibility to do it. The agreement says pretty clearly, each party is still responsible for their own actions. If it's joint liability, each party is responsible for their own. So if it has nothing to do with the trails and the purpose, we would argue that is not our responsibility. And the language does say pretty clearly, each party is responsible for their own actions. If it's joint liability, each party is responsible for their portion of it. So if we were not negligent or involved in it somehow, we would argue that we would not be on the hook for it.
So when you say the language, just want to for clarification, you mean the overarching?
Yes.
Or is there a particular section that maybe I missed where it states each party would be responsible?
It's
a lot in here, so forgive me if I missed it.
Trust me, I have to read this agreement about 50 times before we reach it. So
I'm still discovering new stuff.
If you look at, it's under the indemnification. No indemnification, I believe it's on page 12.
Okay.
And I think that purpose is just to say, if there's joint liability, like if each party is responsible for their own, we would argue there'd have to be some negligence on the part of the county for us to be responsible for anything.
Okay.
If it's just trees falling down and it would have happened and nothing to do with the trails, we would fight that.
Maybe we split it 50-50. Splitting 50-50. Don't think the county should be picking up the total tab here.
I wouldn't even see that. I would say, unless you can say we did something wrong that we said we were going to do, that's not our responsibility.
Okay. All right. It was 11G. The county shall share past and future research data and findings pertaining to the county properties with the university, including but not limited to bike river water quality analysis, ecological inventories, invasive species reports, natural resource inventories, and local habitat data. Why?
Why the county should share that with the university?
Yeah.
Because that's good education on both sides. We put it on our stipulation as well as their stipulation that we should be sharing data and collections, because we're doing Pike River water testing currently for...
I get that, but it says all county properties.
They actually do research within other county properties. So they go out and trying to be more specific.
Is there a case...
But KD Park, they do research. They've done research projects with some of our prairie restoration projects. So this opens up that avenue for more collaboration, that if they have interns that are willing to do more data collection research projects, it opens up that working relationship not only with pets or the Parkside property, but all properties.
So on that then, Matt, have they come back to you then with their findings?
Yes, they actually have shared their data.
That's how you're looking at it, is trying to get something. Okay, we found this. If you did that, it would result in this type of thing.
Yes, it's just more of an open forum.
It just sounded kind of like one-sided, very one-sided there.
The same line item goes on the covenants to the UW Parkside as well.
Okay. On 14, section 14, it just gets back to this extraordinary maintenance section. It just says extraordinary maintenance shall include not only to activities such as building, installing bridges, boardwalks, benches, kiosks, building new trails, recreating, installing trails, stormwater management functions, clearing. That's quite a laundry list there also versus just some bike trails. Talking kiosks, bridges, buildings.
And I think in this language, I believe Matt wanted, in case they determined at some future part, you know, time that they would want to do something like that and add it, they would have to get authority to do it. I would guess they'd have to get funding authority from you guys to build any type of building or anything, any structures or anything like that. And then the university would have to approve that as well. Because okay. It's supposed to be very basic, and there's not supposed to be any of this stuff done without both parties agreeing to it. That's okay. The way that I think that.
And then, in general, under, bear with me a second because I kind of lost my place. Under funding,
the,
section 4-4, page 4, construction by the county of trails restoration efforts shall be funded by multiple private and public sources. County meeting, okay, I'll get back to that one. Can you expound a little more on the public sources? That's a very broad, general description. I'd like it a lot more specific.
I can use the example through the EPA. We had the $500,000 grant for Pike River restoration. So that's one grant funding opportunity. We had Fund for Lake Michigan. That's another one. Great Lakes Restoration Initiative has funding opportunities. I would say in total, there's probably close to 10, if not 15, different public and private funding opportunities just for the Pike River alone. DNR grants for invasive species removal is on there. Urban forestry grants through the DNR, wetland restoration projects through the DNR. So there are numerous different grants that we could do within this
would
property.
Would you agree or disagree with me when I say there's also funding coming from the taxpayer, being through either levy or bonding, as an example with the water, the Pike River restoration we're bonding for, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. My concern is, I don't want to, this feels and tastes a lot like the bike trail plan that is, oh, it's just a plan. And the next thing you know, we're being obligated to spend many hundreds of thousands of dollars on those. And what I want to look at is, I still look at this property as this is the University of Wisconsin Systems property. And I don't want to see taxpayer money going to fund this, but it does not say that here, okay? So can this be amended to state specifically, no Kenosha County taxpayer funding, tax levy dollars, bonding, or source funds of any source may be used? Because I know you had made the comment that our friends at the Board of Regents, you know, already approved
it. They've already approved it, right.
Okay. But on the other hand, I don't really care. They got lots of money.
I would say whether it's accepting money or spending money, like I said, our position is always if it is not accounted for in the budget, like there's not already money approved to spend it in the budget, or the budget hasn't already approved the money coming into it, then we need county board approval. So at some point, like, they can't spend money that hasn't been budgeted for this without you guys knowing.
Yeah, no, and I get that. The issue being is that it just gets tucked into public works, and there's the vote on the whole board for this agreed to this overall overarching. I want it stated in there that we're not going to be using Kenosha County taxpayer money for this exercise because it's been presented to us as a co-educational, co-beneficial exercise developed and maintained by this army of volunteers. But I just don't think that's true long term. I think that there's going to be taxpayer money. I don't support that. I'm all for expanding it. It's their property. They should pay for it. I think it's noble of us to come in and bring our expertise, and they should be thankful that we are. I think it'll be a successful thing. I don't want to put my constituents on the hook for it, though. So I want to know is whether or not we can edit or revise the funding to add in, and it doesn't have to be this exact wording, okay? But I have some wording. Kenosha County taxpayer levy funds, taxpayer bonded funds, or any taxpayer collected funds shall be used for planning, construction, development, or maintenance of said property, and if any are used, this agreement shall be terminated.
If the agreement was amended at this point, it would have to be reapproved by the UW system and then reapproved by the money.
Okay, so that's not a no. That's just, it has to be reapproved. But if they really are truly interested in getting into this joint venture with us, I think that that's a reasonable clause that I would like to see added in there.
This was, just to throw in, this was approved by Finance Committee. They're going to bring it to the county board. They approved it.
Yeah, I know. They didn't ask a single question.
Right. So, I would say if you want to do that tomorrow evening, Mike, that would be the time to make your motion.
Well, it's kind of fruitless, but because apparently we don't care about the taxpayers, but having to shell out more tax dollars to support these ventures. But if they're just going to bring it to the table, then we kind of, it's a waste of extra of energy here to review this in this committee. And I apologize for everybody spending their time like this.
You know, one thing, I'd just like to add a couple of things to this conversation, because they're in every one of our partnerships that I've been involved in. We haven't been involved in that many years doing this. A few little things where Little League used our ball diamond and the Wilmot High School used Ray Barris Field at Fox River Park, that type of thing. There's always going to be some taxpayer money spent if you do something to enhance something for the public. Now, our guys go pick up the garbage at the dog parks. They do. So they leave the KD shop where they're at and they stop at that dog park and they pick up that can. Now the dog parks are self-supporting. We don't spend a dime on the dog parks. And the dog parks right now are helping pay for the improvements at Petrified Springs Park. Money from these funds. They can't be spent on anything else. So that was something that people were skittish about, the dog parks. Similar to some of this conversation I'm hearing tonight. Now, I was a little pessimistic about it, but it's worked out. Fox River Park, the Bulldog football people run their football thing there, and they have their light standards out there, and our guys move them when they mow. Those are taxpayer dollars. But there's a plus for the community. I've never been involved in Bulldog football, but it's jammed out there. So I know there are a lot of families that pay taxes that are. Our guys do pick up the garbage there and do that. I was county board chairman when we did Brightondale's Little League parks, Lakeland Little League. We own the land. They built state-of-the-art, beautiful facility there for Little League. Now, we spent some money. We did some meetings and grading and stuff. It was all volunteers, masons that volunteered, all the materials and stuff. So, yeah, Kenosha County spent some money, but look what the community got. Ringle Nature Center, that family gave the land. And now we're getting Boundless Adventures there. I realize there's a huge outlay there for that role. Kemper Center, 80 volunteers work out there. We got that for $175,000, I think. And we do spend money at Kemper, but the community benefits. This golf, it's jammed. I know we spent 10 grand. I saw that we did the cement work for the tee boxes. And it cost us about that. Our guys dug the pits and laid the cement. So, but the amount of use that gets, one of the biggest ones, there was a lot of pessimism over the beer garden. I brought that to the county executive. He was nervous about it. There was a lot of going back and forth on if a beer garden was a good idea. With the luck of the draw, Matt Collins had just come here and had some experience with beer gardens in Milwaukee County. And we took that chance. Now it's 5-year lease. And these guys have already pumped in money, and they are also paying for the Petrified Spring, new washrooms and work doing there. So there is some risk. There's taxpayer dollars risk on these things. I got a lot of flack. It took me 4 years to get us to start selling beer at our golf courses. First year, we $75,000. Holy Christ, that wasn't a bad idea. But you've got to make some of these moves. And these bike trails, I didn't trust it at all in Silver Lake. I listened to it. Ray, they tell me, you know, people, things that are being considered, and I didn't think that was going to work. I couldn't believe the passion of this club and what they do out there. We don't do anything. We don't cut a limb. They do it all. And they were at our meeting, our joint meeting, if you saw them sitting there, and they're coming tomorrow, apparently. They've got a waiting list for kids and stuff. So you're adding value to the community. I'm sure that John Rudy and now Matt has spent some dollars out there. $10,000, $10,000, $20,000. But what it brings into Silver Lake, you wouldn't believe. And the community all around Silver Lake. So everything you take a chance with. But what we're not taking a chance with here is we're not allocating any money to this, but a dollar. If we vote on this tomorrow night, tonight, a dollar. And there's no way in hell that any money gets spent out there before it coming back to this group and the county board. And unless you're asleep at the wheel and miss it, you get a chance to argue it. All they're asking for here, and I'm in agreement with, is to add another aspect of the quality of life on that piece of land. And that piece of land is going to be jumped on by this bike group. And we're going to have to hold them back because we're not going to be ready for it yet. But they're chomping at the bit. And there's a need for it, apparently, which blew my mind. But I saw it now. I've seen it happen out there the last 3 or 4 years at Silver Lake. So, yeah, I'm always pessimistic about if this is going to work. Can it work? The beer garden thing, oh, somebody's got to be making extra money out of this. This is crooked. It wasn't. It wasn't. It was somebody with a little idea. And it worked. And it worked in Milwaukee. And now it worked in Kenosha County. And it's benefiting every taxpayer in Kenosha County right now. Everyone, even if they never had a beer there. So you do take risks when you do these things. But tonight we wouldn't be, because it's a dollar. That's it. And we have 120 days to back out of this agreement anytime we want.
And, you know, and all those examples you gave, Chairman, are legitimate. The only key difference is we own the land in all those examples. Exactly. We don't own the land on this example.
But we can back out in 120 days.
That's what I was going to, unless I missed one of the examples you brought up. I didn't hear any of that weren't county-owned land, and this obviously is not. It's university-owned.
Exactly. So, do you have?
Just a quick question. If this were to go back to the Board of Regents to have different language put in, how far back would that extend this project?
I would say that we've been in negotiations for this project, and Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, over a year.
Correct. Great.
The only other thing I wanted to add in talking, because we're kind of talking like the university is this private entity, but at the end of the day, it's a public university. So it is government property. So that property, if it was a private piece of property, I would have, well, never even got to this far because it would be private property. But the other piece of it is we see what's happened with the Pike River Restoration, that's the North Branch. and it's been largely funded with a range of public dollars, private dollars, federal dollars, I mean, a myriad. It's dramatically improved the stormwater management up in that area. And I've met with now people that live downstream of Parkside's property. Some of the suburbs residents, I've met with them a number of times last year, Andy and I have, because they are concerned about what's happened because of the rain events that we get now and the impact on their properties. And it was very clear that unless we form something like this, I mean, because they see that we've already demonstrated our commitment to dealing with our publicly owned property that the Pike River runs through and getting that improved. Is there an aesthetic value? Absolutely. More importantly, there's a stormwater management value to doing that restoration. And there was no plans, and there still aren't any plans, for the 139 acres of how many mile? A mile-ish? A mile of the Pike River runs through that. So again, anything that we can do on public property to improve the stormwater management that directly impacts all of the private taxpayers around there that own property is a plus, because I think just about everybody in this room has gotten phone calls in the last year or two for stormwater issues. These issues are not going away. So the more we spend time and energy trying to sort out and address some of these stormwater issues, it's in everybody, in the community's best interest, everybody that pays taxes. And if there's public property that contains some of the infrastructure, natural infrastructure in this case, that supports stormwater management, I think we got to take a serious look at it. This allows us to do that with another mile of Pike River. I spent the last, what's today, Monday? I spent on drain water. Last week, I think there was 3 days that I spent on drain water issues, different parts of the county. So stormwater is a big deal. It's a big deal, and I know everybody.
They fight against the DNR who doesn't like it moving too fast. They want it percolating through the soil to remove undesirable elements, and I was told that specifically. So. It's not like we can just clean out the Pike River and everybody's problems go away. That is not true. And quite frankly, the DNR isn't always inclined to follow that. They like slow-moving water.
Right. It's not cleaning it out. I mean, cleaning out's a piece of it, but it's engineering what was there at one time, which as rivers rise, it allows that river to span in a controlled way so that it doesn't, it's not going the way it goes now, which is everybody farms right up to the banks of the river, all the development occurs up as close. And so what's happened is, we've created a lot of the conditions that exist that didn't exist, 1,000 years ago. A lot of the work that was done in Mount Pleasant with the Pike River was done to recreate those kind of natural abilities to manage those bigger events. And that's a lot of the engineering that's gone into the first phase of the Pike River. That's what we're doing. We're trying to do that so that it doesn't negatively impact those folks downstream. So that, I just wanted to make that point because that's a part of this puzzle. And the stormwater issues are not going to be going away. So I just wanted to make that point.
Any other discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So we've been in negotiations for a year. We're asking for a small clause. I'm asking for a small clause to be added, okay? If indeed it's going to be brought to the board floor by finance committee anyways, I guess I'll have to make it then. Is that really, that's not going to take another year. Board of Regents to read it, say yes, say no, right?
The position where it is right now is it's either up or down on the contract. The contract's been vetted, it's been approved. It's typical either we are approving it or we are rejecting it.
Okay. And then you get back in negotiation if the Board of Regents so feels that that's the direction they want to go.
I'm sorry.
So it would go back in negotiation if the Board of Regents feels it's still a worthwhile thing to pursue, but that it's more clearly stated where the resources are coming from and not from the county.
If it does not pass the board.
Sorry, the taxpayer, sorry. Yeah, okay.
John?
I just want to say a couple things. I understand a lot of the issues that I keep thinking about the whole picture, and I'd hate to jeopardize this opportunity, considering it had taken so long. The other thing too is, it seems to me that embedded in there, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't read this as closely as maybe some of the other people have, but it seems to me there's enough contractual limitations in the contract, namely you could cancel it within a 100-day period. The part on the extraordinary costs we're not going to cover, and which was mentioned there, so I thought they were pretty specific on this, the stormwater advantage, the demand by the public to have it, and the fact that this is a public university. I have no problem whatsoever ideologically to join in or to have the county involved in this. I think it's in the long term, I think if we focus just on the cost, and it doesn't seem to be the cost as much, what seems to be brought up are the potential costs that might come up down the road, but those are unforeseeable. But by definition, when you take a risk, they're always unforeseeable, so how are we going to know for sure? At this point, we're asked to make a decision on a contract that's pretty long, and there's a lot of points there, and I understand what's brought up by my colleagues. I don't see the need to kibosh the deal at this point, because I think there's enough constraints in here, it seems to me anyway. And if anything happens, if it starts going the way where it's costing too much, we could always cancel it. And we could always challenge. From what you said, system is that basically had to statutorily get us involved if they wanted to do this. And if Matt's correct, if we don't jump in here, they may, as you said, close it down, and that's going to have a negative impact long term on the Pike River redevelopment. So there's a lot of other unintended consequences that may be at risk if we don't sign on. But anyway, that's my two cents.
Any other discussion? Do I have a motion on this then?
So moved.
Supervisor Franco, second by Supervisor Geske. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor, you the governor. Committee.
Aye.
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 No.
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 No? Okay. One, two, three. Okay, so it passes. Do this again tomorrow, I'm sure. We can move on.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for the status report for the Parks Division, first thing is Boundless Adventures. So the Boundless crews are completing the final elements within the Aerial Adventure Park, and we're almost set for the grand opening. So all county supervisors, including committee members, should be receiving an invite for the grand opening event set for June 4th. So coming up shortly. As far as Bristol Woods Parkway reconstruction, it's a good thing the contractor started when they did, because they had really nice weather in the beginning, or I'd say the end of March, going through the first part of April there. So they were able to complete the all excavation, install the base aggregate and culverts, pour concrete, and in the process of landscape restoration, asphalt is the next thing really on the plate. And unfortunately, this week it's probably not going to happen on Wednesday and Thursday, so the rain date for that will be Monday and Tuesday for the asphalt. And moving on to KD Park, a new partnership with the Great Lakes Community Conservation Corp. They're going to be partnering within our Parks Division, starting off at KD Park, but this is really an opportunity throughout our entire county park system, where it's a school. They have multiple locations with the school, but it's basically a last chance effort for either youth or young adults to really receive their high school diploma. And they work part-time in a classroom environment, and the other part they actually do natural resource improvements, being invasive species removal, trail development, trail construction, or anything else really out in the elements that we want them to do. So they're semi-skilled, they have their pesticide applicator's license, as well as they're trained on how to use a chainsaw. So they'll go out and whatever projects we really need them for, we're hoping to get a crew of about 8 of these kids with supervision out in our parks once a week throughout the year. So spring, summer, fall, winter, they're always looking for work and partnerships. So that's gonna be a great one for our county parks for numerous tasks. As far as the Pike River restoration phase one, the live stakes were installed along the riprap. So if you go along phase one, a lot of people have been questioning, why is there rebar in between the rocks? It's not rebar, that's actual woody brush material that'll basically, it's willows and dogwood, so those will be blooming throughout the summer months and really covering up a lot of that riprap. The contractor, unfortunately, continues to be a challenge on completing the final plantings and the punch list for the project, so we're just working with our purchasing director and corp counsel on next steps to finish that project out. Moving on to the Pets Building and Ball Field project. There is a news article in today's paper in the Kenosha News, but the contractor completed pouring the foundation, footings, and walls. Underground boring for the water connection was done. Basically, they're going to be working on the roof this week, hopefully weather pending, and softball field work to begin when weather cooperates, hopefully next week. So that project's going to be completed prior to July 1st of this year. Next project is the Pets Restroom number 5. This was included in the capital improvement project for 2019, but this restroom will receive, and already has received, new electrical upgrades. It will receive a new electric service within the next 2 weeks. New flooring epoxy is slated for next week. And as I said, the lighting and fixtures have already been installed. So we are hoping to be done with this before Memorial Day of this month. As well as for the next thing, Park Superintendent. As everyone may know, Joel Ranchel had retired after 41 years of service over at Petrifying Springs Park. So his replacement is Chris White, and he has started 2 weeks ago now. So fairly new to the team, coming in at a perfect time. Pringle Nature Center, I won't go into all those attachments, but they are included for your reading pleasure. And then just a couple updates on special events. The Pets Beer Garden, they're going to be seasonally open starting Memorial Day weekend, but they actually do have a soft opening starting on the 10th of this week. So they'll have a couple soft openings before the official opening where they'll be open on a daily basis.
Yeah, given the amount of rain, you know, that doesn't seem to stop. And I know where they're kind of located. They're on the grass and all that. Is it dry enough to have them there?
As far as the beer garden you're referring
to?
Yeah, they've...
I'm talking about just tromping that whole area down, or is it...
So it is a construction site, if that's what you're referring to. So we are going to have to lay sod, and that's part of the plan, to lay sod within that area because we had to excavate where the sanitary line is. We'll have to block that off so it's not overly trampled, because even if you lay sod, it can't have high traffic. So we're doing precautionary measures just to make sure.
I don't live far from there, and my yard is just a sponge.
Yeah.
So if they're talking about within the soft start in another week or so?
On Friday. I think they'll be okay. In that area, especially just to the north, it drains fairly well. And even within their patio area, they have really good drainage because they put in about 12 inches of aggregate on top of the traffic bomb material. Okay. So even if they stick to that, they'll be okay.
All right, thank you.
And then the last special event was yoga at Old Settlers Park. New yoga studio, Yoga Tree Wellness Center, offered free services at Old Settlers Park. So that'll be free yoga for the community for 10 weeks, starting on June 9th. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. I gotta tell my golfers about that yoga.
Come on over.
It's not what goals.
In golf operations, we're following our business plan. We have 15,000 people on our email blasts every week, and you know, we're busy when the weather's nice, but the cold, wet spring have kind of created a slow start for us, and we're still committed to, doing everything we can to promote the golf courses. We had the senior scramble last Friday. We had 72 players in that. We had the spring scramble Saturday. We had 64 players in that. We had our tailor-made demo day on Sunday. Next Saturday, we have our Tour Edge demo day. And then the following Saturday, we have Cleveland, Strixon, and XEO demo day. And then on the 25th, Memorial Day weekend, we'll have a Titleist demo day, and I believe a Callaway demo day on Sunday. So, you know, we're doing as much as we can to promote the, you know, our club sales and you know, promote the golf course. And so, you know, hopefully the weather changes and things will get better. So we're working with a local company, Lee Enterprises, to develop our marketing, a comprehensive marketing campaign. The program includes both conventional and digital marketing strategies. The digital strategies include regional digital impression geofencing. And we should have over 500,000 impressions from our marketing throughout this spring and early summer. So, you know, hopefully you guys are seeing some of that, and you know, hopefully it's going to make a big difference for us. We also signed with One-to-One Marketing. It's a new company that we've replaced our POS system with Club Profit and with Golf Now, where we used to be. They kind of did some marketing for us. Now One-to-One Marketing is really the premier golf marketing in the marketplace, and we're looking forward to bringing them on board you know, having them work. Our new websites are up. If you guys have a chance, go to golfbrightdale.com or petrifyingspringsgolf.com. The websites, I think, look phenomenal. And they're going to be doing our social media marketing also. So we'll have new email blasts coming out starting this week. So league play was supposed to start this week. You know, it has started with some of our leagues. You know, Wednesday to Thursday doesn't look too good, but they did play tonight, so that's a good thing, and tomorrow should be a right day, so we should have over 600 league players, over 400 just at Petrifying Springs alone, and then another couple hundred at Brightdale, so I'm very happy with that. That's weekly continuous play throughout the summer, so that really helps us out a great deal. Staffing is really our biggest concern. You know, we need more maintenance workers. We need more food and beverage workers to be sufficiently staffed. We're pretty good in the golf shop and outside service, but those two areas, especially maintenance, is really troublesome right now. So we're working on that. And our new superintendent at Petrifying Springs, Ryan Rutherford, started March 25th, really doing a great job so far. Has really come up with some good innovative ideas. Brought in a new guy to consult with the pump house that really has made a big difference. Going over all the equipment and has some great ideas there. And you know, we've had great reviews on the Petrifying Springs golf course so far this spring. You know, I've heard from constituents that the greens have never rolled better already, even with this type of weather. So really looking forward to what mark that he can put on that golf course. You know, after being Kenosha's favorite course for 6 years, to try and improve it, it's going to be great. And then,
Dan, you know, you'd mentioned about it at Brightdale that, you know, they're doing some kind of brush thinning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have they done the same thing on pets? Because that's one thing I've noticed when I've played there. There are times where some of those tee boxes are all shadowed in, or kind of, you know, the old growth is coming around, it just doesn't get enough. Have you employed that same technique at pets yet? Or?
That is on the docket, but we have not yet been able to get it out there. Our current staff has done a lot of tree work this spring, as far as getting living up some of the pines so that if you hit it underneath there. And then our new superintendent has really looked at specifically 12 and 13 tee boxes just for those reasons. And we're formulating new ideas to try and get better growing conditions, especially for those two tee boxes. So. Projects that we're working on, you know, we're fine-tuning that flight scope. It really worked good this weekend for our tailor-made demo day. We're excited about You know, the upcoming demo days, I'm attending a National PGA Club Fitting Seminar this week, Wednesday and Thursday, with our head professional, Doug Cholsky. I think that's going to give us some great education. That's up in Cedarburg, so, you know, that should help with our demo days. And, you know, the FlightScope just gives us that credibility that we're doing our club fitting correctly, that we're teaching correctly, and, you know, so we're really putting some emphasis on getting that working as best we can. The golf shop refreshes, you know, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback just by the looks of the golf shops and the restaurants. That White Birch renovation project, currently we have all of the liners, the better Billy Bunker liners in the bunkers. All the gravel aggregate has been put in the bottom. All the drainage has been done. We've sprayed all the polymer on top of the gravel so that it drains so well. Now it's just getting the sand to the bunkers. And, you know, with this weather, we just can't get the equipment out on the golf course without damaging it. So it's been like last week, we were shut down all week long. We were hoping to get the whole project done by the end, by Friday, and we didn't get that done. And the architects, Bob Lohman and Todd Quintino, were out today to check on the progress of the restoration, and we are working toward what we can do by hand without getting the heavy equipment out there. We're certainly giving it our best shot to get it done by the Memorial Day weekend. We would love to be able to open it that Friday before Memorial Day. And it's just the white front. The back is done. Everybody has loved, you know, what's happened out there. You know, there's so many people that say that they've enjoyed the new features. We got the grass depressions and some of the bunkers we turned into mounds, and the sand in those bunkers have held up so much better. You know, it stays right in place, and even through all this heavy rain, you know, the only time that it's messed up is when people don't rake the bunker as they get out of it. But it's really, the drainage is so much nicer on that back nine of the white, so really looking forward to getting that done. And you know, the people are just gonna, you know, love it for that restoration project. So, and then the brush cutting, yeah, it you know, it looks great out there. It changed the whole look and feel of the golf course. I mean, you know, there's so many people that enjoy the views and the vistas so much better because you can see through the trees and you can see the different holes and you can see more of the golf course, and people are really enjoying that. And then the point of sale system was very, very challenging. It went in last week, and you know, it worked good. The guys from Club Profit were there. They helped us. We spent a lot of hours putting it in. I commend my staff for all their extra effort that went into putting it in. We went live last Thursday. Didn't have hardly any business Thursday, Friday, you know, while the trainers were on site. Then we went through this weekend and a couple issues, but nothing that we couldn't resolve, and it's going to be so much better inventory and reporting and you know, just easier to use, and it's just getting the kinks out now. You know, it was unfortunate we weren't able to do it, you know, before we opened, but you know, I'm so happy that it's in, and really should give us some great information and usable information. So that's what's happening in the Division of Golf.
Cool. Mark?
Just one question, Dan. Is there a dress code at Pets or Brightdale? You got to have a shirt with a collar or
no? No. We have never had a dress code. I mean, we make people continue to wear their shirts.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's
so no shirts and skins out there.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Shirt with a collar on. I don't mean a white t-shirt, just a, you know, a shirt.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't have anything obscene on it or anything you said, so.
Somebody said that?
Yeah, last year. That's.
I would have to check into that.
Okay, but there's nothing.
There's no.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think it's a public golf course. It isn't, you know, Augusta,
right.
So.
Right.
Not that we don't want it to be looking like that.
It's just,
right.
Well, it does. We don't want a lot of money to look like
that. Yeah, you know, so. Yeah.
I don't know if maybe one of the staff used it as an excuse from our unruly customer. I mean, I have no idea.
Anything else for Dan? All right, thank you, Dan.
Mike? Question.
Starting on the ongoing project list, first project is the courthouse chiller replacement project. That project's winding down. It's substantially complete now for a couple weeks. What's left is commissioning and punch list items. We're expecting the project completion date at this point to be May 10th. So we'll see next meeting if I'm saying that's true or if it's pushed. Next project is the KCAB heat pump replacements. Work started on Monday, April 22nd in the basement. It's scheduled for completion on the 19th. That project's got the basement is the first phase, if you remember from the last meeting. There's 29 heat pumps in the basement. They're going to start on the first eight in a group away from the staff. And 2 weeks into that project, they're going to stop that phase and go up to the county exec's office and tie into Frank's project with remodeling up there. And the idea is to, when the furniture's out and we have the free floor plan, we can get the ceiling and get those heat pumps replaced, get the ceiling back in, put some new LED lights in, and then let the general contractor for the remodeling start. So that kind of ties with Frank's that way. Third project is the public safety building employee lot repaving. We had a pre-construction meeting way back on April 1st. That went really well. Cicchini's the contractor on it. They started the work on the 25th of April. Scheduled to be completed on June 7th. And needless to say, it's been delayed by rain for pushing a week and a half now. But it's not jeopardizing the schedule. So that's it for the ongoing list. Focus on energy spreadsheet. A couple things on there this time. The public safety building upgrade jail dorm lights to LED, that's been completed and moved to the completion side of that list. Courthouse replaced the chiller. Let's see if that's on there with the expected closing date. And then I added a new one, the KCAB replaced the heat pump phase one with the appropriate dates. Project cost is $227,900. Annual savings is $1,041. It's greater than a 10-year payback. That's it for the list.
$3,000, huh?
Say that again?
Save much, only $1,000 a year.
No, this was one of those tricky ones that you look at it and it's like, what?
Cost that much?
Well, it's the key is the word heat pumps. VAV boxes, chillers, different things like that, they have significant savings. But heat pumps, they're not real common in Wisconsin. It's usually down lower in states, transition areas. And there isn't much incentive or to talk about supporting heat pumps very much. Having heat pumps in the KCAB building is very unique, and everybody says, why do they do that here? So, no, there's no savings. We didn't factor that in very well.
Current ones
What's original? So they're, when was that built? 20 to 25, somewhere in there?
Years, I think it was 93.
Well, we don't have to worry about it.
Well, they're starting to fail, so this is
out
of life
replacement. Yeah, we'll have to worry
about the next replacement. Well, we won't. That's all I have.
Thanks, Mike. Okay,
Ray. Yeah, resolution to purchase a property at 5511 11th Avenue. I'll give just kind of a functional nuts and bolts of this, and then Jen's standing in for Joe. Joe actually did all the negotiating for this property. But basically, hopefully the map on the back page will give you a pretty good perspective on exactly where this is. It's two parcels, but it's considered kind of one as far as the business that's there. It's an older building. I want to say, I don't know if that's in the resolution, but I want to say it's probably a turn of the century and not 2000 building. It's a law office currently, and there's one tenant in an upper floor. The situation is that the couple of attorneys that are in there, everybody's near a retirement, or at least the owner of the building is near retirement, and I believe they actually approached us in selling the building. This would be the last piece of that block. It's the remaining piece that the county doesn't own. With the purchase of the Gomez property, then parcel 437004, late last year or earlier this year. This will be it. We'll have, the county will have that entire block, which will square that off for whatever may make sense future-wise in terms of needed. You know, the thing that's generally talked about is at some point we're probably going to have to empty the courthouse out of any non-direct court functions as we add court to that building. This at least sets the table for those kinds of things to be considered as we move forward. So that's pretty much what it is, and you know, Joe negotiated the price of $205,000. I don't know where that. I know it's more than what the assessed value is, but typically what we're seeing when assessed value relative to appraised value for these things, I'm going to say it's in the neighborhood of maybe 1.5 times what the assessed value as property value. Just like when pre-crash, typically assessed values lag what the appraised, what the market was saying, and then there was those probably 4 years where it flipped, where assessed values are probably higher than, in a lot of cases, what the appraised value would have been. Now it has spun back the other way, and for the most part, appraised values versus assessed values are back in kind of that traditional kind of a look. So the $205,000, like I said, I know wasn't involved in the negotiations at all, so I don't know if Jen can speak to that at all. But
yes. The only other piece, and Ray said pretty much everything that I was going to say, on the property, so they I was told that they've been in somewhat negotiations, not specific, but trying to acquire this property since 2015, and not even before, when Bernie Bosch was still the Corporation Counsel, that there'd been some feelers put out trying to get this property since it does complete the block, and it just looks like the timing is right now with the tenants and the owners being ready to retire. And I think the belief is that if we don't move on it now, it'll probably be decades again before we would be able to get it, because it's clearly set up to get somebody in there and then use it as a rental type property, because I think right now there's other attorneys in there, and there's two or three of them. So I believe it looks like the opportunity is right now.
So, sorry.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So it's a commercial building?
It's
zoned commercially, and it's being used for business?
It's three attorneys that are in there.
Oh, okay. How big is it?
I don't know, Ray. You don't know how big it is? I know it's two lots. We're talking about the building and the parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah, the actual building, I don't know the square footage, but if I was to estimate, I'd say it's probably 16 to 1,800 square feet. Fairly small, each floor, two-story building. Well, you probably got it there.
Yeah.
How much is it?
It looks like it's
the assessed value is 137.
It's frontage acres. It's beautiful. Okay, let me get this
straight. The building's not on here.
It doesn't have the building.
It doesn't.
Okay.
No, it doesn't have square footage.
It has the acreage.
Well, these are the two parcels.
Yeah.
So from this photograph that's attached, which looks like it's from about 1960, concerning these parking these backwards around KCAP, which buildings are we talking about? 43712, 011, 43704?
It's actually the two that are outlined in blue, I should have said. Right.
There's no blue and a black and white photo.
Oh, you got black and white.
Yeah, that's what it sent me.
011.
Okay.
12 and 11.
437. Okay. Yeah, so it's 437, 012, and 011, those two. So the 011 is the parcel
okay,
that's got the building.
I got it now.
Okay.
Just couldn't tell
for
it. So what is the intent of acquiring these two? What's the emergency of having this whole block? Why?
So I wouldn't necessarily categorize it as an emergency, but I would say that as Jen stated, you know, the opportunity, we've been trying to, I guess, acquire these properties since at least 2015, so that then there isn't, it's basically a municipal block, the entire block from, it would be actually 54th now, all the way to 56th is a municipal block. The public safety building's in there, public safety building parking lot, and then KCAB, and this entire block is municipal, so it basically creates a rectangular parcel that whatever may or may not make sense going forward to accommodate court-related functions or other county or municipal law enforcement functions, we've got this whole block. There's nothing we have to work around. So it's an easy piecer. It's a parcel that provides a lot of flexibility for any future needs.
Is there any thought about acquiring the properties and then renting them out?
So in this case, I would say specifically no. The condition of the building is really poor.
Yeah, just throw some attorneys in.
Okay. I am afraid that's what my office is going to
do. No, you live in that palatial estate called KCAP, don't you?
No, we're in the basement of the courthouse.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. So we're in the garden level.
That's nicer. I've been down there.
I have very little windows. So eventually it's going to be the corporation council's office.
Give me some window one of these days.
I would say, although there's no immediate plans, the short-term plans would be probably to demo this building.
Parking is at a premium.
Parking is always an option.
So for both the 11 and the 12, it's 205 or 205 each?
205 total for both parcels combined.
And I don't know where, but I heard it that it's, well, maybe you guys have reinforced it too, we're paid a little bit above market on these.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So it's an opportunity cost right now?
Right.
What do you think that is, an extra 30 grand or something?
The assessed value, I believe, for both parcels, I was told, was $144,600.
So it's
So it's probably right in that range of about 1.5-ish, you know.
But again, if there's not an immediate need, why spend extra?
So that's the thing. From a timing standpoint, if that person is, they're at the point where they're retiring, the owner of the building, if he doesn't sell it to us, he's probably going to sell it to somebody else. And if anybody's good from a speculation standpoint, they would read the tea leaves and say, I bet the county's going to want that someday. How about if I buy it now at this price, and then when they need it in 5 years, I kind of got them. So that's this, at least. We've got an amicable relationship.
Unless we come up here and land we own a lot off and build here, and then he's screwed. Right?
Could. Yeah. But it's just, again, real estate development guys, real estate development folks, that's what. So from a timing standpoint, we've got an amicable relationship with this owner. From a timing standpoint, it probably makes the most sense to take advantage of it now, because it would likely cost more in the future if we did decide to use it for a specific person. And we probably have to go through the formal process, which, as we all know, is not a fun nor cheap process.
Yeah, I just hate to pay extra for something we don't really need for. Over and above what the market is.
You could look at it as a future investment that is actually going to save us money. So I think that I really do think it's realistic that it will. This is what we're going to buy it for now is going to be less than what when we'd actually need it to do a project specific. It's less.
You really only have to go back 2 years to have a perfect example of this paying off, and that's the fleet maintenance building. When we redid the public safety building, fleet maintenance had to go somewhere, and we had this same, wasn't an argument, but people asked the same questions, why are we buying that across the street? For the same reason, we wanted control of that piece of land. Had no use for it that day that we bought it. I remember sitting with Bernie Batch and going through all this. And then, voila, it's a perfect building for the fleet maintenance.
Yeah, that wasn't part of the grand plan. Like
no,
you say, it was kind
it
of
was never part of the plan. And I question what why would we, you know, but the same I think it was Bernie said, you know, we can't move the courthouse. We can't move the courthouse. So that's the reasoning behind it.
And I have heard that there is talk of an extra branch of the court being Joe always talks about that eventually the circuit court is going to be expanding and possibly an additional branch. I'm just repeating what I've been told, and then they're going to have to figure out where to put them, which is why I keep joking that we're going to be moved, because eventually they're going to have to expand, and then we're going to have to relocate other people in the courthouse.
Any more questions for Ray?
Just to follow up on Jonathan's statement, adding an additional branch, that's mandated to the county level from the state level, that's correct.
Right.
And it's based upon population and things
and
like that. things like that. So obviously our county is moving in an upward trend, and you know, we have an upcoming census in 2020, so I think it's quite apparent that that would be likely. So I agree that it would be wise to acquire this property now when we have that.
Property values are going up too. They have been.
So could I have a motion on this resolution?
Motion to approve the purchase property at 5511 11th Ave.
Second.
I'll second.
Moved by Supervisor Yuhas, second by Supervisor Franco. Any further discussion? If not, you the governance? Committee?
Aye.
Good, then I'll try to wrap things up so we can maybe catch, well, basketball, it's only the last 3 minutes that matter anyway.
I still would mind at least the last quarter here.
Right? So, just a few odds and ends. As you heard tonight, there's quite a few projects that are going on in all the divisions, as usual, but we've really cranked things up, and well, the weather's been less than ideal. I think relative to some other parts of the state, and for sure the nation, we're actually pretty fortunate. Public requests to investigate drainage issues, as I mentioned earlier, continue to increase. It's pretty much a weekly event. Recruiting and retaining seasonal staff, backbone of parks and golf operations, continues to be a challenge. We are actually on the simulcast county fire frequency. We actually made the official switch after about 2 years of work through the bureaucracy, the federal bureaucracy, on April 23rd. We had a few minor technical adjustments that we did over the first week, but things appear to be working pretty darn well. There's a fire chief's meeting scheduled for May 23rd of this month, and that's where I think we're going to get real good feedback as to how everything is working. And then we're going to have a debriefing meeting after that, the project team, to make sure that any lessons learned or anything that we could do for anything going forward, we'll have that knowledge. But basically they're operating on the new frequency, and the initial feedback is that it's much clearer in terms of interruptions and disruptions to communications than the old frequency, which is exactly what we were hoping for. It sets the table for the simulcast.
Hoping for? Didn't we know that going in?
Planned for. Thank you, Supervisor, for that correction. Planned
okay.
For, yes.
I'd have been disappointed, otherwise we might be spent.
We planned for it. Actually, we didn't spend on this part of it. There wasn't much spent. Consulting fees for the frequency, working through the FCC's bureaucracy. It's the next stage. This sets the table for the simulcast. Bids came in for the tower portion of the simulcast project on 422. Bids were roughly 20% high. We were figuring about $550,000 is roughly what we got budgeted. They came in about $700,000. Not quite, just under $700,000. So we're going to work. We got our first meeting this week to now value engineer those, and the goal is obviously to get those within the budget that we've got allocated for those two towers.
Is that just the towers or all the?
That's just the two towers. The simulcast itself, all the equipment, that came in under budget.
Okay.
So that was budgeted for, off the top of my head, I want to say $1 million, and that came in at like $800,000. So we're in better shape on that side of the equation. The towers we did as a separate piece. So. And I'm confident we're going to get, if not right on budget, we should be able to get them pretty darn close, because initial conversations with there was two bids. There was one out-of-state firm, Allstate Tower out of North Carolina, and then Baycom actually worked with a local tower provider that we've done a lot of projects with, a Wave out of Sun Prairie, real good company. They jointly put the bid in, and they were low by about $200,000 relative to the out-of-state firm. That in the initial conversation that Matt Fleming, the purchasing agent, had with them, is they've got a list of things that they're going to offer up, and there's a list of things that we want to offer up as well. So we'll start the process, and hopefully we'll get it where we need to go.
Are you guys considering a monopole or more of a lattice stuff?
So, ironically, we put in monopoles as a preferred. Downtown, we definitely are going to have a monopole. Silver Lake, we had a monopole, and we put in a lattice as an alternate, thinking it would be less. That actually came in more. Haven't figured out why that is, but something's happened in the industry where that's the case. So the monopole actually is less money out it. So we're probably going to, at this point, it appears we're going to end up with monopoles at both spots. Formal acquisition process for the four properties near the fleet maintenance building has just begun. We'll continue to update the committee as things develop. That's pretty much it. I don't want to take any more time.
Along those lines, could you just give us a general sense on how the property owners are cooperating?
Yeah, so the initial contact by our real estate consultant with the four property owners was actually very pleasant. We had inference that two of them were going to be pretty hostile. Not the case. All four have been very pleasant to deal with. Now they haven't gotten the appraisals. I literally just got the appraisals this afternoon. So that process won't actually start formally negotiating with them for about 3 or 4 weeks because we have to get approval from the State Department of Administration. It's not for a plat plan in this case, but it's called the relocation plan for those four folks. We have to get that approved and then we'll start the formal negotiations. So I would think by our next meeting in June, we'll probably have some, at least an initial indication as to how those negotiations are going to work. Look, there's two of them that have retained attorney. It happens to be the same counsel out of Madison that is kind of, I don't think these folks contacted him. I think the attorneys contacted the folks. And so we'll work through that process. But it's at least the initial. It doesn't appear anybody's real, they appear to be, they got pictures, everybody got in for the appraisal process, they let them into their houses, they took pictures of everything, the people are actually in the photographs, it's so, I don't think people would be doing that if they were totally, you know, up in arms against it, so I think it's at least initially a good sign.
Anything else?
Well, then I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Excuse me, sir.
Second.
Second way through it. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.